It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you for joining us. Each of you, you're treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Live with intention, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. I do appreciate you joining us. Thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It's Wednesday, but no Camel today, producer Steve.
No, he's so...
He's undependable.
He's just got a bad attitude, and he starts in on me at 4:30. I said, nuts to you. Take the day off.
That's right. We like people that are not toxic personalities. Here we have a... We have a job to do here, so thanks for making that call. I do appreciate that. And great, I'm so thrilled to have in studio with me Priscilla Ron, and she's been a guest before, and she is an educator. She's also the new vice chair of the Colorado GOP, and we're going to talk about this whole Tay Anderson, this Denver Public School Board member that has some allegations that have been made towards him, and kind of what your thoughts are, and we'll talk about that in the third and fourth segment, but it's great to have you here.
It's great to be here this morning, Kim, and beautiful. I haven't been up this early since school got out, so thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
But it's a beautiful view of Denver. It's amazing.
It really is. How is it going as being this new vice chair of the GOP?
It's great. I'm talking to so many patriots, so many people all across Colorado, and they're energized, and I'm making a lot of new friends. I'm a people person.
Yes, you are.
And so just having a great time, just listening to what's on the hearts and minds of Coloradans, and how we can, you know, strategize to preserve our freedoms, mm-hmm. and restore, you know, our state. So it's great.
Okay. Optimistic or pessimistic? What would you say?
Very optimistic, extremely optimistic, but very pragmatic as well. You know, I'm a problem solver as a teacher. You know, you always look at, you know, where the loopholes and problems are, and you go, and then you figure out a plan. So I'm very much a strategist. I think about data. I think about the moves that we're going to make, next steps, and so it's a lot of thinking and planning and collaborating with people, because it takes a village, right?
Well, it takes a state right now, mm-hmm. for sure. So we'll talk a little bit more about that, but also, you have really taken a stand regarding this Denver Public School Board member, which you're really out there. But I know it's on your heart because you're concerned that the allegations are that children and young adults have been abused. And so that's something of great concern.
Absolutely. The number one responsibility we have besides educating children is keeping them safe. And so we need to do all we can. We're, as educators and employees of a district, we're mandatory reporters. And so there's a lot of fear that happens. And when I think about the innocence of children and how vulnerable they are, my heart is like a mama bear. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just doing all I can to make sure that children are safe. And of course, we believe in due process. Director Anderson is worthy of due process.
Absolutely.
And that's right and fair. And he can have due process at the same time we protect children. And that's pretty much where I stand.
Seems pretty reasonable to me. So we'll talk about that in segments three and four. Segment two, we're going to have Chance Hill on. He is a CU regent, and is planning on putting forth a resolution tomorrow that would prevent CU from mandating the COVID-19 Wuhan China virus vaccine. And I want to chat with him about that as well. And so that'll be in the second segment. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get the first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds podcast. We have been in a bit of a lull on that, and we're refocusing, getting ready for that next push, which will probably be right around August 1st. And I can't believe how fast time is going, Priscilla.
Yeah, they say the more birthdays you have, the faster time goes.
Somebody said life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer to the end you get, the faster it goes. So, yeah, I didn't need to share that on the air. I don't know. So, anyway, you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity on these issues by looking at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, which, Steve, you and I are really concerned about that right now, particularly with the increase in housing prices. And the assessed valuations are going up, and then you get hit with a higher tax bill. It's kind of like a hidden tax, Steve.
Well, you know, I think of this often because, well, actually, we just paid the second half just in the last couple of days. But all of a sudden it occurred to me, my property taxes go to a different place than yours, but I think we're still in the same boat.
Well, most of our property taxes go to the same place.
Oh, really? I thought maybe because of the distinction of where you live, and nope.
Yeah,
go
well,
into detail, but
we do have a road district that I don't think that you pay into, but most all of the other taxes we do. So there's the Park Meadows Metropolitan District, and that was for streets and roads and those improvements. But otherwise, we're pretty much the same, I think.
Well, then we're seeing the same thing.
Yes, we are. So anyway, I got stopped at unpredictable and excessive taxation, but the list continues to grow. Now there's fear, coercion, and our latest is government-induced inflation. And you think about where gas prices were at the beginning of the Biden administration and where they are now. They're up 50 to 60%. That is government-induced inflation. And that is a silent thief for everyday hardworking people. Steve, you look like you want to say something.
I wish I knew what that look was, but well, the recap is that...
Am I right? Did you want to say something?
Well, okay, I was thinking it. We like to talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have life. We're here talking to each other. The liberty, it's under attack. But the pursuit of happiness in terms of the fruits of your labor are all going to government.
That's what
more and more and more. And I just want to ask, it's like, how far can this go?
That's the question. And I think that that's going to be a big question at this next election. And remember, it's never compassion. Or if something's a good idea, you should not have to use force to implement it. What's your thoughts on this, Priscilla?
Absolutely. And I'm really glad that you're having Chance on so that he can talk about the force of this experimental drug, because that's the fear even in K-12, that our freedoms are going to be taken away. And when we're looking at the economy and we're talking about taxes and how this legislature is ignoring the will of the people and circumventing the will of the people by increasing fees and making gas prices go up and delivery prices go up. And, you know, how long will we, the people, be able to own private property? Will it become too expensive? So it's like this cascade of issues that we are having to educate ourselves on in order to be able to combat that and maintain our freedom. So it's important.
Well, and that's why we do this show, is to help people get their brains around these issues so that they, first of all, understand them and that then they can converse with their friends and their family and their colleagues about this. Because this battle of ideas, it's a constant, it's been forever for sure. But we are really at the forefront of it right now. So that'll take us over to our quote for today. And this is from Marcus Tullius Cicero. And he was a Roman statesman, lawyer, scholar, philosopher, and academic skeptic who tried to uphold optimate principles during the political crisis that led to the establishment of the Roman Empire. He was born in 106 BC. He died in 43 BC at the age of 63. And his cause of death was he was beheaded by Mark Antony. That'll do it for sure. But this is what he said. I found these words interesting. Though liberty is established by law, we must be vigilant, for liberty to enslave us is always present under that very liberty. Our Constitution speaks of the general welfare of the people. Under that phrase, all sorts of excesses can be employed by lusting tyrants to make us bondsmen. Priscilla, can you believe it?
Yeah, you know, this is what we're battling against, is our standing up for our freedoms, and we're going to have to really wake up in this next election.
Oh, my, for sure. We're really going to have to wake up in this next election, and it's so important that we get our brains around these issues. And I get to work with some really sponsor partners, and one of those is Jen Hewland. She is the owner of Water's Edge Winery, which is located in Centennial. It's on Arapahoe Road, just west of University, on the north side of the road. And Jen Hewland, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kim and Steve, how are you?
Doing very well. I cannot believe that we are in the middle of June. Father's Day is this weekend. What's going on at the winery for Father's Day?
Isn't it crazy? It's like 2020 never even happened. The whole year just disappeared, and we're halfway through 2021. Time sure is speeding up the older I get, I'll tell you. So we've got Chef D cooking. We've got a whole bunch of new specials for June. We've got some amazing food. As usual, we're bottling wine furiously. We've run our stores down after a crazy year for COVID, and we are restocking. So we've got a brand new Sauv Blanc. We've got a pomegranate Zinfandel. Our Mexican coffee port goes amazing with cigars. So really good option for a Father's Day gift, or just bring Dad in. Sometimes he just wants to spend time with you, and make an appointment or a reservation with us and bring him in and have some lunch. We're open from 12 to 7 on Sunday. So you can come by and have put some wine in them, put a smile on that face. Or if you want to take a bottle to go, we can do a personalized label for you.
Love that.
You can put their favorite grandchild or a picture of you and say, sorry, I'm the reason that you drink. And we can put that right on the front of the bottle. It only takes about 10 minutes or so to find his favorite kind of wine, and it's only $3 for the label on top of that cost.
Okay. Hey, Jen, what is your website?
We are at wewdenver.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. You can see what's going on. Whenever I'm bottling, I get a little bored because I'm back there by myself, and I like to take videos or pictures of me bottling so you can see what's going into the bottle or what Chad's making and putting in the tank. So it's kind of a little journey. Come along with me and see what we're up to.
Well, I really love that. And also, you have a landing page at kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Jen Hewland, thank you so much. We will talk to you very soon.
Thanks, Kim. We so much appreciate being a part of you.
And I appreciate it as well. And we'll be right back. Priscilla Ron is in studio, and we'll go through some more headlines. Stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. Greatly appreciate that as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Very thrilled to have in studio with me Priscilla Ron. She is an educator. She's also the new vice chair of the Colorado GOP. And on the line with me is CU Regent Chance Hill. And Chance, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kim. Thanks for having me on. And hi, Priscilla.
Hi, good morning.
Chance, we talk about this all the time on the show, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And tomorrow, my understanding is that you are really going to stand for something like that. Tell us what's going on.
Sure, I'll provide some context. So right now, there is a policy on all four campuses of the University of Colorado system, a policy set by the campus-level administrators, mandating that all faculty, staff, and students, whether incoming students or those returning next year, must take the COVID-19 vaccination or show proof or papers of having done so or apply for an exemption if they are to set foot on campuses again this fall when classes resume. And so carving out an exemption for Anschutz Medical Campus, where you have doctors and nurses who have voluntarily chosen by definition to work with sick, elderly, ailing patients, of course, I'm putting forth a resolution tomorrow that seeks to overturn this mandate, this policy I just described, on the three primarily undergraduate campuses, so meaning CU Boulder, CU Denver, and UCCS here in Colorado Springs. And I'm doing that because I think that's important for ethical, administrative, and very legitimate legal reasons, particularly against a backdrop in which this vaccine is still operating under what's called the emergency use authorization. It's not even FDA approved. And so I think this is a very personal decision, whether you're going to inject something in your body or bloodstream. It is a personal, intimate, bodily choice, and it's not my decision. It's not anyone else's but yours, and it's certainly not that of an unelected, mid-level, public sector, taxpayer-funded bureaucrat in the university setting. And that's really the context here. The crux of it is public sector government coercion versus the notion of personal autonomy, and really echoing that whole my body, my choice line of reasoning you hear in other discussions.
Boy, Chance Hill, first of all, thank you. It is great to see an elected representative have the guts to take a stand on something like this. How does the wind blow on this? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, to be candid, we have a new Democrat board majority this year. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if all five Democrats on the board decide to oppose this resolution. We'll see. At a minimum, though, I think it's important to get all nine regents and really all elected officials in general on the record with regard to their particular stance on this topic. I think the Colorado taxpayers and voters deserve to hear our positions. Now, some are going to say that because you can apply for an exemption, whether for health, religious, or what are called personal viewpoint reasons, that makes it, you know, relatively easy and, you know, Chance, you shouldn't be bringing forth this resolution. But my position is this. One, we don't know yet how burdensome that process will be. I think making it an easy exemption process would be a positive step in the right direction. That's part of the aim of this resolution, to kind of put pressure on the administration to at least do that. But fundamentally, the underlying principle doesn't change. This should be an opt-in policy, not an opt-out policy by default. The burden should not be on the individual. And some university officials and some regents, particularly on the Democrat side, don't appear to understand that fact.
It's so interesting that you mentioned the phrase, my body, my choice, because that has been a phrase that's been used for many, many years by those and many, I mean, it can be on both sides of the aisle, but for sure in the Democrat platform there, that is used for a different issue. And so it will be really fascinating to see how these regions that most of them probably have supported those particular words in a different issue, how they're going to come down on it on this particular issue. I find that this is really fascinating. I also think that it's really important because what we've seen, Chance, we've created a fourth branch of government. That is that administrative bureaucratic state. And what I think I heard you say is that administrative bureaucratic state, and these bureaucrats are paid by taxpayer dollars, have made this decision on this mandate. And many times electeds like to hide behind those decisions so they don't have to be held accountable. And I really feel that you, in doing this, are reclaiming a part of the American idea that we are a government of the people, by the people, for the people, and we elect representatives to do that. So this is actually really a cutting-edge thing, Chance.
Well, I appreciate that. And you're right. I'm at least trying to. Again, you know, we'll see if the resolution passes or not with a new Democrat board majority. But I think it's important that voters know where we all stand. And to your point earlier about the My Body, My Choice line of reasoning, part of the aim of this resolution is also designed to highlight the hypocrisy on that issue, because there are some people who are quite comfortable citing that argument in the context of the abortion debate, but they're going to be mum, I think, with regard to that line of reasoning and that logic applied to this context. I think that's wrong and hypocritical. And I also want to say, just to be very clear, this is not a vaxxer versus anti-vaxxer argument. Full disclosure, I've said this publicly before, I work in the healthcare industry. Earlier this year, I chose to voluntarily exercise my personal liberty interest, weighed the pros and cons, looked at the risks involved, and ultimately, given my unique personal set of circumstances, decided to take the vaccination. But that was my personal calculus. That may not be yours or Priscilla's or anyone else out there in the listening audience. And that's the crux of the matter, and that's what some of these bureaucrats don't understand.
Chance, I was on a road trip, and I was driving along one of the interstates, and there was a big billboard, and it said, imagine not being able to get health care because of who you love. And then there was another one that said, imagine, I think, losing your job because of who you love. And I thought about it, and I'm not sure that's really not the issue I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is, I think that the chances of that happening in 2020 America, I don't even think that happens. But we now have this situation. Imagine losing your job for what you say, or imagine not getting a job for what you believe, the belief that it's your body, that you should not have to be forced to inject something in there. That is more real to me today in 2021 America, and I'm super concerned about that. Chance, your thoughts on that, and then I'll ask Priscilla.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think we should all be concerned, because this theme of coercion versus personal liberty plays out in a variety of contexts. It's not just this one. But, you know, with regard to this issue, I have to say, you know, I'm fine with a policy based on encouragement and open access, because the reality is, if that were the policy, a lot of people would, in fact, particularly on college campuses, voluntarily choose to exercise that option. The vaccination rate would be high, and it would mitigate against any outbreaks. But because of the type of thinking that you're describing, where there tends to be a top-down approach and people think, well, I think it's better because of the science and because unelected experts have told me that's the better option, we're going to compel you to do so. And I think in a free country, that's wrong in a variety of ways, in a variety of contexts, and this is just one more that's coming to the fore.
Okay. Priscilla, your thoughts?
No, I agree 100% with Chance. And I also want to echo and say thank you so much for standing up for this issue, because what CU is doing with this is creating a narrative, and they're propagating propaganda basically around this experimental drug. And these are young children that we were talking about. We don't know how safe it is for these young girls, how it's going to impact them biologically, if should they want to have children, because we see young women across America saying, you know, I'm not ready to take this because I don't know. I might want to have a child.
We need to know more.
Yeah. We need to know more. So for CU to take a stance of encouraging this.
Forcing.
You're right. Requiring and basically forcing people to trade access to a public education that they're paying for in order, they're holding this over their heads, and it seems really unacceptable that this is the target. This is the one thing that is between a child wanting to get their education in our system versus going somewhere else where they don't have to make this particular type of trade.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Chance, We have just a few minutes left. What's your final thoughts on this?
Well, I guess, you know, along that vein, you know, because I've heard some detractors say, well, we require vaccinations in other contexts, and that's true with regard to, say, measles, mumps, and smallpox. One of the differences between this situation and those is that those vaccinations have been around for literally more than half a century. They're FDA approved. And so, you know, as I've said publicly before, this is an issue that appeals to people across the political spectrum. You don't have to be a right winger or a conservative like I am to have concerns about this topic. The fact is, we're all guinea pigs to a certain degree in the early stages of this vaccination or any other. And so there are a lot of people who understandably given their own personal situations, maybe want to wait a little bit longer, maybe never want to get it. That's, again, their decision. I really think this is such a misguided policy by the university for not taking that fact into consideration more. And I'll tell you what, as an attorney myself, I really hope to God the FDA does approve it in the next 65 days before classes resume. Because if it's the case that the FDA has not approved this vaccination and the mandate is upheld, and students return this fall, we're going to have, meaning CU is going to have, some very legitimate lawsuits on our hands. I just think gambling on the prospect of this FDA approval happening is just a bad, misguided, unwise course of action moving forward.
Well, and then I also have the question, because if the FDA fast tracks it, I'm concerned about that, because it takes time to do these trials. And so it really comes back down to this freedom versus force. And one other point that you just mentioned, Chance, and that's how I started to get involved in concerns on this whole vaccine mandate thing, is that I started to see legislation down at the Colorado State House that was being proposed at other states as well on this vaccination mandates. And it actually came to my attention that this is an issue that really crosses party lines. It crosses the spectrums. Yes. It's anybody yes. that is concerned about government force. It really has brought people together on that. And I find that encouraging, that people come together on the idea of freedom instead of force. Chance Hill, I so appreciate. Is there anything that people can do to help you?
Yes, I would encourage people to go online. It's very easy. Find the CU Board of Regents website and email all the regents and express your position. I can tell you so far, we've exclusively only received emails supporting the notion of this resolution from people across the spectrum, not just Republicans, Democrats, and Independents as well.
And is that helpful if you have people reach out to you in support of that? Because sometimes people say, oh, it doesn't really matter. Is that helpful, Chance?
I think so. Sometimes it sways people. It has been the case in the past that some regions have been swayed by public outpouring of support. So you never know. You have to try. And at a minimum, it'll force regions to think about these issues more.
Well, Chance Hill, thank you so much for standing up for freedom instead of force. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Priscilla Ron is in studio. She is the new vice chair of the Colorado GOP. And she also is an educator and is very concerned about these allegations against Denver School Board Director Tay Anderson. And we're going to talk about both the GOP and this issue when we come back. Stay tuned.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter there. In studio with me is Priscilla Ron. She is the new GOP vice chair here in Colorado. And let's talk a little bit about that, Priscilla. First of all, why? Why did you run for this?
Well, you know, when I did run for CU Regent and I started talking to people and really paying more attention to the education in our state and what was going on and getting to know more Republicans in the party, I found that there was more to be done. There was so much.
You think?
Yeah. it was kind of like going down a rabbit hole, and it's like, wow, I didn't realize all of the things that we need to be aware of as citizens of the state. And I was encouraged to just stay involved in party politics and just be a part of the voice, we the people, like how this whole civic system works. It's about everyday people just wanting to be involved locally or whatever capacity that they have. And I thought, well, you know, I bring a perspective. I had become really upset about the narrative and the smearing of us as Republicans and conservatives. And I'm like, I want to change that. I want to be a part of the change. So I decided I wanted to do all I could to restore liberty and freedom in Colorado. So that's why I stepped up.
Thank you. And the narrative has been that the Republican Party is a bunch of old fat cat white guys.
Yep.
But we're realizing that actually the Republican Party, the principles of the Republican Party have always been for hardworking, everyday people. And maybe I think through time we maybe have lost our way, but I think that there is not a wokeism, but an awakening to this, and that we are realizing that freedom and liberty and limited government and people having under this vision of the Declaration that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and as Steve mentioned earlier, pursuit of happiness, those are the principles that the Republican Party says that it's committed to uphold. And when we were doing this, when I called and said, hey, would you be on the show? We were talking about what's going on out there. And it was kind of an aha for me because everybody says, oh, we have a messaging problem. You hear Joe Biden use these freedom words all the time because people, that's what they believe in. They do the opposite. But we say them, and people, I think we don't have a messaging problem. It's an integrity problem.
Oh, that's a great point. And I have been noticing that when I've listened to Joe Biden in his last several weeks of talking. I'm like, those are our talking points, and he's using them. And we need to come across a lot more compassionate and humanitarian. It's not just about policy all the time, and we have the right values, but that relational part and that understanding part, we can improve on how we are delivering this message and really getting people to talk about their values. What are they talking about around the dinner table? What are they talking about with their colleagues at work? What are they paying attention to? What's hitting home for them? Because for everybody, it's something different. You could be a business owner. You could be a suburban mom. You can be an immigrant that's coming to America. So there are different things that people are thinking about. And I truly believe that the Republican Party has those answers. We just need to connect with people.
And stay true to it as well.
Absolutely.
And as you're mentioning this, we talk a lot about health and hydrocarbons, how hydrocarbons, fossil fuels, the freedom to travel, the freedom of mobility is certainly something it's very freedom orientated. And we look at this Senate Bill 260 that passed this year, and it was sponsored by the Democrats, and it's that big transportation bill. And it increases the gas tax by 14 cents a gallon. Now, they called it, first of all, a fee, because if they called it a fee, they did not have to do the honorable thing, and that was ask the voters if this was okay. So first of all, I think that that's really stinky. But then let's think about that hardworking, everyday person. Gas prices are up almost over a dollar. And that is that hidden inflation that I talked about, that government-induced inflation, that instead of it being $20 to fill up their tank, it's $30. And that $10 goes out of their pocket. If it wasn't government inflation, they might be able to use that $10 for their family.
Absolutely.
It's gone.
That we are totally living in a false economy right now with all of this COVID relief money coming into our state. It looks good on paper that maybe our economy didn't suffer that much during COVID, but you're absolutely right. At the end of the day, if salaries are up, but inflation is up as well,
more,
you'll look at your bank account. Families will look at their bank account at the end of the month and see that we were sold a bill of goods, because in a couple of years, when this temporary money, you know, like the government can't keep writing checks. So it's going to hit us in a couple of years. It's not hitting us now. And everybody's thinking, oh, you know, things are fine because we have this emergency relief money. But again, it's a false economy. People need to be aware of how the government, this administration specifically, is moving towards eliminating private ownership, because how can you sustain these rising taxes in your home, these gas prices going up. These are unsustainable decisions. And so we are in a sense of urgency right now to elect conservative legislators, because when you change your legislators, you change your laws. And that's what it's going to take in Colorado.
And you mentioned the word conservative, and that word has been demonized for many, many years. And in fact, when I was doing these quotes, I found that actually it was coming in the late 1800s. They'd even started to demonize the word. But the word conservative, what it means is to conserve, preserve the ideas of our founding. And I want people to understand that is something to be proud of. And Patty had this on the headlines, as you mentioned it. This is from the Business Journal. It says, Colorado legislators begin the process of spending $3.8 billion in federal stimulus money. It's false money. They are printing it there. And so we're either taking it from our neighbors or we are taking it from our kids. And there's something super immoral about that.
I want to say there are two states that rejected money from the federal government, obviously Republican governors who said, we're not going to shut down, we're going to keep our economy going, and they didn't need it. They sent it back. And so they're not beholden to the government. And I believe it was the right decision for their states. Their governors protected them from what we are going to be seeing. It's coming.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, you sound a little bit like Maggie Thatcher with a problem with socialism. And that's what this is that eventually you run out of other people's money. And it would be one thing if we're running out of this generation's money, but it's not right to run out of the next generation's money, to encumber them. And one other thing I find that I couldn't believe this. Somebody said it the other day, and that is that POLUS, let's see, what is it here? It says that POLUS is now going to kind of walk back and all of these executive orders that he sent. Priscilla, he did over 400 executive orders. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And I had gotten the quote on, I can't find it right now, but I find that absolutely amazing. And he basically said, we now need to get back to where we have the legislature and our representatives working. And the idea that he has this quote-unquote libertarian tag, there's nothing libertarian about that at all.
No, he's got those legislators under control. They owe him. He bankrolled their campaigns. He's made friends over the many years as a politician, and he has all the money in the world to control, and that's what he's doing. He's a tyrannist, and he's controlling these decisions. He doesn't understand his role as a governor and his role as a politician for small government. It's the actual opposite, and we will not forget these families that had businesses for generations who are permanently
breaks
closed.
My heart.
We will not forget. There's nothing that's going to make us fall asleep between now and 2022 to be like, everything's fine. No, we're going to remind the public that families and generations were impacted because of his decisions.
Very bad decisions. Before we go to break, because when we come back, we want to talk about this Tay Anderson issue. But Patty had found this. This is Fox News, and it says, North Korean defector says even North Korea was not this nuts after attending an Ivy League school. And it says that the American educational institutions continue to be called into question. North Korean defector fears the United States' future is as bleak as North Korea after she attended one of the country's most prestigious universities. Yeonmi Park had experienced plenty of struggle and hardship, but she does not call herself a victim. One of several hundred North Korean defectors settled in the United States, Park, age 27, transferred to Columbia University from a South Korean university in 2016 and was deeply disturbed by what she founded. I expected that I was paying this fortune, all this time and money, to learn how to think, but they're forcing you to think the way they want you to think. And one of her examples was, I think that she said during orientation, she was scolded by a university staff member for admitting she enjoyed classic literature, such as Jane Austen. I said, I love those books. I thought it was a good thing. And I bring that up because, Priscilla Ron, you have an amazing story. And that is that your mother was in Seoul, South Korea, when the North Koreans invaded during the Korean War. And it is a remarkable story. Your father is a Vietnam veteran. And just share just a little bit about that, because I find it remarkable.
Sure. My dad was drafted in the Army at 18 and served in Vietnam, in the Vietnam War, and served our great nation for almost 30 years and retired as a CW4. My mom was born in Seoul, Korea in 1938, so she remembers a unified Korea. She was about 12 when the war started in 1950, and she's shared many, many stories with me. I lived in Korea from age 10 to 12. I spent a summer studying at Yonsei University, which is one of the top universities in Korea. And so I'm familiar with this young woman who shared her story, because we understand and have lived this nightmare in the country of Korea that's been divided by this tyrannist in North Korea as well. And these are real stories. When we hear immigrants who are escaping communist China, communist North Korea, who are warning us about what's coming, and they see the commonality between Marxism and communism and even socialism and the trade-offs that are coming, it's a serious thing, and we need to listen, because we are one of the last standing nations, free nations.
If we fall,
in the world,
where do people go?
Where will we go? Exactly. And so we need to wake up, and we need to inform ourselves and our neighbors and everybody that the future is in our education system. If they can get our children, which is what they're doing, confuse them, indoctrinate them, create division and hate, which is what we're seeing with this, what I call CRT 2.0. It's not true critical race theory of the 1970s. So if anybody studies the law and policies of critical race theory, that is not what we're doing. It's under the guise of diversity and inclusion training, but it's the opposite. It's not getting us to the point where we want kids to be inclusive and loving and caring and judging people by the content of their character. Because if you talk to anybody on the left, they will not quote Martin Luther King. They will not quote that. That's a sign. If you can't quote Martin Luther King, then maybe what you're doing is not really getting us to that point.
It's pushing all this division. And before we go to break, just the remarkable story of your mother, as what her mother said, you've got to get out of here, right?
Oh, do you want me to share that
yeah.
story? So they walked in that after the first bomb, they walked
this
out of
Seoul.
This
was in 1950,
December of 1950. They found a barren home, and there were a couple of refugees that had found this home. And in the middle of the night, a bomb hit that house, and it hit the corner of the house, and everybody died in the house except my mom, my aunt, my uncle, and my grandma. My grandpa wasn't there. And so that morning, my mom said to my mom and my grandma.
So where was your mom at that time?
In Seoul.
She wasn't in the house.
Oh, yeah. She was in the house.
Oh, she was too.
They had escaped Seoul because of the bombing. So my grandma that next morning said to my mom and my aunt, you guys need to get out of here. And there happened to be just one train track, and the trains were coming, and my mom was in track.
And she was
in school, a runner.
She was 12. Okay.
And so my aunt said to my mom, okay, when the train comes, you run, jump on the train, and you grab me. And so my aunt had her baby on her back. My mom was running, jumped on the train, grabbed and pulled my aunt up, and they stayed in the cart until it stopped. They didn't know where it was going. They just knew it was going south. And when the train stopped, they were in Busan, and my mom ended up in an orphanage until the war was over. And then when the war was over, they gave all the children what they call 1,000 won, a backpack and school clothes, and said, this is a one-way train ticket to Seoul. Go find your family.
And 1,000 won was not that much.
No, it's not a lot. Yeah.
I find that a remarkable story. A 12-year-old girl running by a train, because it's not easy to jump on a train, I've heard. You can get that there's a draft that'll pull you under. She gets on. She pulls on her sister with the baby. It's a remarkable story and what people do for freedom. And so here you are. From there to you are the Colorado vice chair of the GOP. What a country.
Absolutely. There are no limitations if you put your mind to it. It's the greatest country in the world. We have so many freedoms, and that's why I'm fighting so hard. It's for my mom and her history and her knowledge, and my dad. You know, I'm grateful because my dad grew up during segregation, and who would have thought?
He was black, right?
My dad's black. Yeah, for those who don't, I can't tell him. You know, my father, he taught me how to love my country. He taught me how to be patriotic, and he taught me how to think for myself, and that I can, that I, can figure things out and that I'm smart. And he told me that so many times. So I didn't grow up a victim. I didn't grow up, you know, oppressed. I grew up saying, if you want something, you need to work for it. And doesn't mean that I didn't experience racism growing up. It doesn't mean that things haven't been hard. But, you know, it's hard for everybody.
Right.
There's nobody that has an easy road.
No, that's for sure. Remarkable story. And when we come back, this is another reason why you're standing up for kids. And we'll talk about that. Before we do that, though, Steve, you're going to have to go down to Sedalia, Colorado this Saturday because Hal Van Herke, Linnea Van Herke, owners of Castlegate Knife and Tool, which they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world, 11 to 3, they're going to have beer, brats, and blades. Sounds like your kind of event.
Sure does. And I'm going to make it a point to be there.
Okay. And it's Dad Appreciation Day. So that's 11 to 3, Castlegate Knife and Tool, and that's Sedalia, Colorado. Check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Priscilla Ron.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you and all my sponsors that contribute to make sure that we are on the air as we search for truth and clarity on these issues by looking at them through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Priscilla Ron, she is the new vice chair of the Colorado GOP, is in studio. We'll now get to the real issue we're going to talk about, and that is Tay Anderson, Denver School Board Director, who there are allegations. First of all, I saw this. He was involved in the Black Lives Matter movement to some degree, and an activist came out and accused him of sexual inappropriate things or assault. I'm not quite sure what that was. But then, after that, then there's these allegations from 62 undocumented children and young adults that he assaulted them. And you and I, bedrock to the American idea is due process, that you get your day in court, that you're not a judge, that the jury out here in public opinion. So we really believe in that. But I'm very concerned with the number of allegations that, just very concerned about this. So Priscilla, what do you say?
Sure. So the allegations range from unwanted touching to overt sexual assault, whereas we understand one student required stitches. So this is what the public has heard. It's very concerning because if an employee of a school district is under investigation for assault, they are immediately put on leave. But an elected official is beholden to the people. So Director Anderson has been able to continue to be around children and not required to be away from children during this investigation.
And is he a teacher? Or how does he have access to kids?
Well, at the time, he was from the time that the allegations came forth, he was an employee of the district in 2019 before he became a school board member. So so he was working with children during that time and had access to young children in and out of school. So
like after school programs or?
Sure, a school board member can, you know, be around children, but he was at North High School as an employee, as a restorative justice coordinator. So he had full access to young people all the time.
Okay.
So what we have now is an investigation, and the thing that I had been proposing to the school board, and I wrote an open letter to CASE and CASB, which is Colorado Association of School Boards and Colorado Association of School Executives, asking them to look at their policies and write language into their policies that would require a school board member to be placed on leave should they be under investigation of sexual assault, which I think is appropriate because that's for the safety of the students. That's also for the safety of the school district. So when Mary Catherine Flemings went to the legislature and testified
for
SB 88.
And who's that?
So she's the mom that went and publicly testified, and that is when we first heard of the 62 allegations. So that pass, that's a sexual assault pass, that is actually retroactive. So if an organization knew about a sexual assault and did nothing, they would be held accountable even monetarily. So that did pass this legislature. But it is complicated because allegedly 61 of the 62 students that were assaulted were undocumented. And there is some fine language there between, like, what is an undocumented versus an illegal? Well, if your parents are here illegally, but you're born here as an anchor baby, you're technically undocumented. You're a U.S. citizen, right, because you were born here, but you're undocumented. So the fear, several students have said that they were threatened. But their families would be deported. They were told, I will find you anywhere.
That's not compassionate.
It's not compassionate at all. And so the issue is, how do we protect these children so that they can feel safe to tell the truth of what happened to them? And if we can't provide them with safety and protection, I mean, I'm thinking these children are sacrificing their lives for the protection of their families. So their moms and dads and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles, and for themselves as well. This is the only country that they know. And so whereas the GOP is taking a stand and Republicans are saying, you know, we need to be compassionate. These are children. I don't care what your status are. No child should be vulnerable to pedophilia, to sexual assault, to threats. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not who we are as people.
Right, as human beings.
Right. So that's why I've spoken up, not because I'm here to be judge and jury, but to say we must protect these children so that they can safely tell their story and tell the truth so that they are not traumatized. Because the mental trauma that we are going to have to deal with these children, and we don't know how widespread this is a big issue, and it's our responsibility. Every parent sends their child to school, and they expect us to protect them. We have a series of gun violence that's happened in our public schools. We have this mental health crisis with COVID and kids being depressed. And now with these sexual assault allegations, what parent would trust our government-run public school system if we can't do our job? This is the promise we make to parents, that we're going to educate and we're going to protect their children when they're in our care. And that's why it's really important that we keep the pressure on our legislators to be accountable, elected officials to be accountable to these children.
One other thing, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I am very concerned that our kids in many ways are falling behind on the basics they need: reading, writing, arithmetic, critical thinking. And there's only a certain amount of school hours in the day. And when we see these issues being pushed forward, the CRT, critical race theory, and this sex education that's going on even now into preschool, which they're explaining things to kids that never would have crossed their mind. I'm concerned that they're grooming kids for people that are going to assault them. We have about a minute left. Your thought on that?
Absolutely. I've seen the lessons on, and we're grooming and sexualizing children who haven't even hit puberty. It's absolutely inappropriate. We need parents to stand up and be really vocal about what's going on in our public education system. They work for us. These are elected school board members, and these are superintendents whose responsibility is to make sure that our children are educated, not indoctrinated, not sexualized, not groomed. And that's exactly what we're seeing in our public education system.
Well, I've heard so many people on the left, when they're running for office, they say, I'm giving a voice to the voiceless. Well, you know what? That's what you're working on right here, is giving a voice to the voiceless. And there is something inherently, it's compassionate, it's the right thing to do because the wrong thing happened. Priscilla Ron, the new vice chair of the Colorado GOP, the new face of the GOP, thank you for what you're doing. Let's stay in touch on all this.
Thank you so much, Kim, and thanks for the conversation today.
Most definitely. And our quote for today is from Cicero, and he said this, and it's very appropriate. It says, "Within the character of the citizen lies the welfare of the nation." So, my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them.